Welcome to episode 341 of The Lab. I'm Brad Barton.
I'm Phil Barton.
This is one in our continuing series on robotics and automation in space and space travel. If you'd like to hear the other episodes, you can find them by visiting thelabwithbrad.com.
I should have something quirky to say right now.
Something quirky, some sort of la-di-da-di-da before I forget. Holiday.
Yes.
Next week. So no episode next week, Memorial Day, la-di-da.
And we actually told people this time.
I know, we're getting better. But Neptune,
mm-hmm.
which we visited once, and by we, I mean Voyager 2.
Right, yeah. I wasn't on it.
It is stupid far away.
Yeah.
So there was Uranus.
Right.
It had been discovered, and some people tried to draw up orbital tables for it.
Okay.
And then it wasn't moving like they had worked up.
Mm-hmm.
So a couple of people independently did the math and crunched the numbers and said, there's bound to be another planet out
there's
there
something on the wing.
And lo and behold, in 1848, they got a look at it with a telescope going, look, okay, Neptune it is.
It makes sense. Okay.
According to one little factoid I read in one little article, they may have been seeing it since 1612.
Really?
But didn't realize what they were looking at.
It's just a thing. Okay.
Oh, I saw a thing in the scope today. It's kind of a pretty bluish color.
Uh-huh.
It is a little smaller size-wise than Uranus.
Okay.
But a bit heavier. It's 3.9 Earths wide as opposed to 4.
Okay.
Its gravity is about 1.1 times ours.
Okay.
So a little more than us.
Huh.
It's around 30 times further away from the sun than we are.
That sounds very cold.
Yes. Its solar year lasts 60,190 Earth days.
Holy crap. This thing is not in a hurry.
Yeah, that's about 165 years.
Hmm.
It has an axial tilt of about 28 degrees.
Oh.
Compared to, say, 25 for Mars or 23.5 for us.
Mm-hmm.
So it does get four seasons.
Oh.
Each of its seasons lasts slightly more than 40 damn years. It has a 16-hour day.
Wait.
Sort of. But, you know, it's just one of these things where different bits of it are rotating. Like the poles got about a 12-hour day.
Mm-hmm.
I think the equator has about an 18-hour day.
What is going on? Hold still.
Yeah. Its atmosphere, like most of the gas giants, is mostly hydrogen and helium,
mm-hmm.
with a good deal of methane that supposedly gives it that pretty blue color.
Oh, nice.
Then a little further down, you get to a layer of water.
Okay.
Ammonia. Uh-huh. And methane, which is in kind of an ice-like form.
Okay.
But it's not the ice you and I know and love. This is weird, high pressure, possibly up to 1,000 degrees Celsius ice.
Really? It looks like ice.
It's solid.
Don't touch it.
It's electrically conductive.
Uh-huh. Oh, man. I was excited. Like, I thought we could stand on it.
No. Just like Uranus, its magnetic field doesn't quite go through the middle of the planet.
Mm-hmm.
And it's tilted way off from the poles.
Okay.
So, strangeness there.
Mm-hmm.
It does probably have a core.
Okay.
Made out of, like, silicon and metals and some kind of exotic water ice.
These sound like theories.
Yeah. Okay. Which is estimated to be about an Earth and a half in mass. An Earth and a half.
Earth and a half.
Three or four fills.
We're all about accuracy.
And to contain about 45% of the total mass of the planet.
Okay.
Now, it's got some moons,
mm-hmm.
which we talked about on Tuesday. Neptune! And its moon! I'm sorry about
We're
that.
We're missing the echo. Echo.
Before we get into this, I want to thank our sponsors,
including
the soundproof microphone, 16-ton weight feather duster, mm-hmm. and automatic dentures.
Automatic? Okay.
Back in 1982.
Dang, okay.
1989.
Okay. Actually. You're usually more accurate. Okay.
Yes. I was flipping through the channels.
Right.
And I think it was NASA TV. I really don't know.
Mm-hmm.
All I know is I bumped into a bunch of people who were telling me about the Voyagers flyby of Neptune.
Oh, okay.
Which happened in 89.
Nice.
Voyager 2.
Okay.
Because Voyager 1 had already gone away. All they were talking about was the moon. It was a Triton this and Triton that and la-di-da-di-da.
Yeah, there's a planet.
The thing they were excited about was the plume of water they saw that had reached an altitude of 8 kilometers.
Oh, okay.
This is the first time I ever heard the term cryovolcanism.
Ooh.
Or cryovolcano.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it is stupid cold out there.
Okay.
So back earlier when Voyager had passed Jupiter and Saturn,
yeah,
they'd seen all these moons with these features that look like the results of volcanic activity.
Yeah, okay.
Like big, flat, smooth plains.
Mm-hmm.
Not many impact craters.
Okay, yeah.
And mountains and caldera-looking things.
All right.
Like volcanoes and volcanic craters of the craters.
We've got those. Okay.
So they were kind of wondering, is there something going on like volcanism,
mm-hmm,
only much colder?
Mm-hmm.
Because especially with the moons they'd been looking at, the density is too low. There's not enough rock there to be using liquid rock flowing around. Also cold. Also cold. Did I mention cold?
Yeah.
When Voyager passed Triton,
okay,
it was the first time they saw an eruption.
Hey.
Or at least what looked like an eruption. There's some question that it might be a different effect than cryovolcanism, but they were excited. And they shared it with me, and I went, ooh, cold volcanoes, eh?
Yeah. Interesting solar system.
Triton is the 7th largest moon
in
the solar system. Cool. Largest of Neptune's moons. What planet are we around now?
I lose track by the second.
It's a little bit smaller than our moon,
okay,
but it's still bigger than Pluto.
Hey.
It's not a regular satellite.
Oh, okay. So that would make it an irregular satellite.
Yeah, I'm glad you're on top of that.
I can tell the difference between A and B. I did it.
So move on to walking and chewing gum.
Oh, new goals.
It is the 2nd largest in comparison to its planet.
Okay.
The largest in comparison to his planet is our moon.
Right. We have what are you doing there? You're so big. Yeah.
It is smaller, however, both that way and just smaller than the moon, but closer to Neptune than our moon is to us, both proportionally and absolutely.
Okay.
Which is unusual for irregular satellites. They're usually way the heck out there.
Mm. Like they got caught or something. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I caught you. Looking at Uranus.
There's all sorts of irregular Uranus stuff. Yeah.
It is the only irregular moon big enough to become roundy.
Oh, okay.
At least currently big enough to become roundy. Like Phoebe probably was totally round back in the day when it was presumably warmer.
Mm-hmm.
Since then, it cooled down, solidified, and got beat to hell. Given its current day kind of lumpy shape.
Mm-hmm.
It does have a retrograde orbit.
Okay.
So if you look down from above the solar system, looking down towards everybody's North Pole,
yeah,
most of the crap is spinning around counterclockwise.
Okay.
Spinning and orbiting.
Mm-hmm.
There are a few exceptions, including this moon,
uh-huh.
which is going around clockwise like nobody's business.
Wow, okay.
It's also tilted at 130 degrees compared to the planet's equator.
Okay.
What's it got? Okay, whenever it's going in the opposite direction,
mm-hmm,
they'll give you a number bigger than 90 degrees. If you ignore that, it's about 50 degrees off, just going clockwise instead of counterclockwise.
Okay.
Strangely, though, another odd thing for an irregular moon is that it doesn't have a very eccentric orbit.
Oh?
It's almost perfectly circular.
Hey.
So here's a question for you. You know, all this cryovolcanism that we've seen on other planets, or even outright volcanism with, you know, liquid rock and so forth on Io,
mm-hmm,
it's tidal flexing that's been doing all of this.
Right, right.
Which requires, you know, an eccentric orbit. And maybe some other large moons to nudge it around.
Mm-hmm.
And here's Triton, the only one anywhere near as big as it is around Neptune,
mm-hmm,
with an almost perfectly circular orbit. So where's the heat coming from?
Somebody's shooting a laser or something.
Actually, Unlike most of the outer system's moons, which are mostly ices of some sort, this thing is unusually dense for out there.
Okay.
So it seems like it's got a nice, big, rocky, metallic core.
Okay.
Which means there might be enough radioactives to drive its internal... Aha!
Aha, yeah. From the beginning of the universe, or beginning of something.
There's not many moons around Neptune. Mm. 14 that we know of.
Not many. We've only got the one. Okay, yeah.
Well, yes, but we're a terrestrial planet.
Yes.
The prototypical terrestrial planet. Gas giants, they have 70, 80, 90 moons, typically speaking.
14. Yes, what is this garbage? Yeah.
Seven regular and seven irregulars.
Okay.
Triton being the biggest of the irregulars and closest in. It's huge.
Yes.
So they think, however it got captured.
Right.
And ended up spinning around Neptune. Mm-hmm. It probably threw most of its moons away. Various gravitational interactions would have cleaned out the system.
Yeah.
Especially with it going the opposite directions and so forth, right through the orbits where we have moons around other planets.
Yeah.
Its surface, mostly nitrogen ice.
Okay.
With a bit of water and CO2.
Okay.
It has an atmosphere.
Oh.
Kind of, sort of. It's thicker than...
Well, I was all excited.
Well, I mean, we've talked about a lot of moons that have an atmosphere, technically.
Yeah.
But it's the equivalent of, like, you know...
That one ring on the Saturn with particles.
Eight particles for every cubic mile or what have you. Its atmosphere is about the same as about 50 miles up, or 80 kilometers or so. Above the Earth's surface, which is one of the places they call the official start of space. So it's still pretty thin.
Yeah, yeah.
But it is thick enough to have weather.
You're kidding me. Okay.
Voyager 2 saw clouds in the sky.
Huh.
And in addition, those little volcanic eruptions, they're shooting up plumes of dust, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, and they all sort of laid down in the same direction. Oh. Almost as if they were being blown by prevailing winds. Well, anyway, we've descended to talking about the weather, so I think we should get out of here. Speaking of the weather, Uranus.
Okay.
I'm sorry, Neptune. I don't even...
Why are we talking about my...
No.
Okay.
Knock it off.
Sorry.
We escaped that already. That whole thing.
Ah, no!
When Voyager 2 flew by Neptune in 1989, it saw this really big dark spot, which was promptly nicknamed the Great Dark Spot.
Oh, how creative.
Much like the Great Red Spot around Jupiter.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
About an Earth-sized storm.
Oh.
Only by the time we looked at it again, to what I think was the Hubble, it was gone.
Hmm.
And then another one showed up later.
What's going on here? Okay.
The wind speeds.
Yeah.
The windiest planet, 550 meters a second.
Okay.
Which is around 1,200 miles per hour.
Holy crap.
Which is five times greater than the highest wind speed ever recorded on our planet.
Wow.
And about twice our speed of sound. That's an important distinction, because the speed of sound depends upon, like, what gases you're going through, what pressure they're at, sort of thing. So their speed of sound is different.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it's mostly helium, and you know what you sound like when you're talking on the air.
That's why I want to stand on it. Okay.
Its atmosphere is minus 370 degrees Fahrenheit.
Okay.
About negative 225 Celsius.
Okay.
So it's pretty cold, but not much colder than Uranus.
I'm surprised.
Yeah, it's weird. It's further away.
Yeah.
It's getting less sun.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still a little warmer than Uranus gets.
That's crazy.
So we still don't know why Uranus is so chilly. It does radiate more heat than it's receiving from the sun, like Jupiter and Saturn do, and for the same reason, it seems to be collapsing under its own weight.
Yeah. So it's getting smaller?
Yes.
Nice.
Now, once you get past the atmosphere, things heat right back up.
Yeah.
innermost of the mantle is estimated to get as much as 12,000 degrees Fahrenheit.
Holy crap. Okay.
Around 6,700 Celsius.
Mm-hmm.
You know, melt steel, that sort of thing.
Yeah, no big deal.
The pressure's that far down,
can get something like 6 million times the pressure of Earth.
Okay.
And this is one of those places where it might be raining diamonds.
Yes!
We talked about this with Uranus, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You're saying we should get a net
and, yeah,
and go fishing?
Mm-hmm.
I challenge you to find any substance that would work for a net.
Ooh, unobtainium.
Neptune does have rings.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Most people say 5.
What? Okay, well, most people?
I've heard a couple of different numbers, but most people say 5 rings.
Okay.
They're nowhere near as pretty as Saturn's.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Saturn's main rings are 170,000 miles across.
Yeah.
About 273,000 kilometers or so.
Okay.
Neptune's widest ring is only 7,000 kilometers across.
Oh.
Most of them are about 100 kilometers across. The most interesting, outermost one,
yeah,
is only 35 kilometers across.
Okay. Yet another planet I've never seen pictures of their rings, you know?
Yeah, well, that's kind of funny because the fifth ring,
mm-hmm,
is not entirely continuous.
Oh?
It has sort of clumps. They call them arcs.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Yeah, so instead of just, you know, a nice even loop around the planet, it's like, here's a whole bunch of stuff, and then not so much. A whole bunch more stuff, and then... 5 arcs, and nobody knows why. All the laws of motion suggest it should spread out, damn,
yeah,
it.
Is there something else on the wing?
Oh, speaking of which.
Yeah.
Neptune is actually in all sorts of orbital resonances,
yeah,
with all sorts of Kuiper Belt objects.
Hey.
Including what was once a planet.
It's still a planet.
Yeah, good old Pluto. But we're going to talk about that next time. See you then.
Bye.